And I want to talk to you a minute about building bridges with love in your family. That's the hardest place to build them, but it's the most exciting place in the world. And I want to share with you just a little bit, a portion of my life, several portions where bridges were built by the Lord in my life to maybe help me through the next part of my life. And sometimes He let me be a bridge and bridge over the pits and the pitfalls that happen in so many families. And then the exciting thing is He used those bridges of love and understanding that started in the family. He used them for the way we serve Him now. And that's exciting. And if anybody had told me years ago, oh, Marge, in those pits where you found yourself, in the valleys of your life, God is teaching you. He's building a bridge. Oh, man, I didn't believe it at the time, but it's exciting. Well, I was born in Houston 100 years ago, and if you don't laugh, I'll kill myself. But anyway, I was born there, and I had a little brother 7 years younger, a lovely, beautiful Christian mother, and a father who was an alcoholic. I often say I knew more four-letter words by the time I was 6 than I've heard all the rest of my life put together. I heard God's name in every imaginable way it could be cursed. But on the other hand, I heard my mother every morning. I don't know how little I was or how big. I don't remember any time she didn't do it. Coming in and saying, wake up with a little glass of juice. Wake up, honey. Good morning, Marge. Wake up. It's a beautiful day. Oh, I wonder what God's going to do for us. I wonder what we can do for Him. And Chuck says, I'm like a goose. I have a hangover from that. I wake up, you know, oh, good morning, world. Well, I'll tell you, at my age, it's exciting to wake up. And you know what? I stayed in that home racked with alcoholism. And I accepted Jesus, asked Him to come live in my heart at age 14, somewhere in my 14th year. And I used to go out in the backyard in Houston and I'd say, God, save my daddy. God, please make my daddy quit drinking. I couldn't have people over. I couldn't ever have a date from my house because he would embarrass me. And I'm not telling you that so you'll feel sorry for Marge. I'm just painting a picture, a true picture. And I used to pray, God, do something with my daddy. And I want to tell you something. If anyone had said to me, Marge, this is probably going to be one of the most important times of your life. It will help you build a bridge of understanding and love later on. I would have laughed. I wouldn't have believed it. Because you see, a home that's racked with alcoholism is a hellish place to live. Well, I grew up, went to high school and just loved boys. I told the class the other night, I just drooled when they walked by, you know, just loved them. Fell in love 43,000 times. And when I was a senior in high school, I did fall in love with a beautiful young athlete, handsome golfer from the high school. And we were very much in love. And when we graduated, I went to Rice University there in Houston and he went to Texas A&M. Love. Man, that's good. And so, sure enough, in the summer between our sophomore and junior year, we decided to get married. Well, that was before the days when you went to work and sent your husband through school. So I was to quit school and go live in Bryan, and he was to finish A&M. And so, all the excitement, oh, God had sent me a Christian husband. Oh, I was so excited. Thank you, God. How wonderful. Now I could have freedom in my own home. Now we could even have the blessing. Man, I don't know about you in your home, but if I could have just in my younger life had the blessing, it would have been so great. And so we were so excited, you know, 3 weeks before the wedding, you know, all the things that are exciting, the parties, the excitement and the thrill. And then about 3 weeks before, the phone rang one morning. I was to come to the medical center, to Herman Hospital. Marvin was very ill. I went racing over there thinking, God, now don't let it be. You see, Lord, you know, you've given me this man. Don't let anything happen. And I got over there, and when I went into his room, I realized that he was more ill than I had expected. And I stood there and looked down at my future, and he died. Lord, what kind of a game are you playing with me? God, where are you? What in the world have you let happen to my life? And then the degradation of my soul started, and I began to wish I could die. I wanted to die. Oh, God, how could you do this to me? Why, God? He was a Christian young man with all kinds of future, and all these winos and all these people that are street people. God, take one of them. Why did you take him? And if you're a God that does things like that, I don't know whether I want to love you. And I tried to pretend he wasn't there. And so I went to the medicine cabinet one night. Oh, how I wanted to die. I wished I could die. And I looked at those pills and I thought, man, I want to die. And God, if you're there, what difference does it make to a Christian anyhow? And so, you see, if anyone had said, Marge, now that feeling, that very incident God will use in your life to build a beautiful bridge of love and understanding, and you'll be able to use it later. I don't care. My life's gone all to pieces. I don't care. And so, all the time that I was having such a spiritual fight with the Lord, way out in West Texas in a teeny little town called Bovina. Now, it sounds like a cow, but it's a town. And there was a young man out there telling his family goodbye and transferring from Amarillo Junior College to LSU on a football and track scholarship. Well, if anyone had ever told me how this would happen, you see, I know Romans 8:28 is true. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And all the time I was shaking my spiritual fist in God's face, he was preparing a fabulous future for me. And so when Chuck, the young man, got to Houston on his way to LSU, you know, it was before the days of letters of intent. They just asked you to come. You said you would. They sent you the money and you went. It was very uncomplicated. And so sure enough, Chuck was on his way to LSU, and he had a stopover in Houston of 2 hours. The Rice University coach, football coach, heard there was a football player down there. He went down and got him. They sent the money back to LSU, and he came and played football at Rice. Oh, that coach thought he had done a good job. I know who did that, don't you? And so Chuck became my best friend. I would cry out to him, why, Chuck? Why? And he would say so many wonderful things to me about God. And he was the bridge. Let me tell you something. He was the bridge that God used to help me get over the pit of heartache and depression. And he'd say, Marge, I don't know why. All I know is God never takes anything away from you that he doesn't give you something better in his place. He didn't know he's going to be the better. And so for about a year, we were real good friends, and he let me cry. He let me laugh. He let me be me. Oh, the freedom to be yourself. Well, he was the bridge God used in my life. And then one night, a whole bunch of us that ran around together, we had a slumber party. And they just sat around the circle and sat me in the middle, and they said, now, if you don't want him, let him go. And I said, I don't know what in the world you're talking about. And they said, Chuck, if you don't want Chuck, why can't one of us? I said, you can have him. He's my friend, but you can have him. You know how we are, girls. If somebody else wants him, we do too. You know how that is. And so, sure enough, I had a date with him the next night, and I looked at him with new eyes. Man, what a man. What a man. Where had my eyes been all this time? And Chuck and I fell excruciatingly, yummily in love. And if you don't know what that is, that's goosebumps on your goosebumps. And so I never will forget our daughter said one day, she came in from high school and she said, Mother, I'm so in love and I just don't think I can stand it. And oh, Mother, oh, she said, you wouldn't understand, Mother, you and Daddy were so good. And I said, sit down, Gay, and I curled her hair for a few minutes. But I want to tell you something. I love that man with every ounce of strength and every ounce of person I had. And he loved me the same way. But thank God we waited. And I want to tell you, well, we got married. Oh, it was so exciting. Here was my man. Here was God's man for me. And we got married and we moved away and we had our son first, and he was ugly. Now he was ugly. You know, I heard somebody say, my baby was in my arms. They laid my little baby in my arms. bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, that beautiful little baby. Well, they laid my baby in my arms, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He looked like a varmint. But I want to tell you something. He improved with age. And 5 years later, we had a little girl. And Chuck and I were so happy. But after 5 operations and 2 children, I began to fall apart. My nerves began to give way. And when your nerves give way, your emotions give way. And when your emotions give way, your spiritual life is affected. And I began to enter the deep, deep depression. And oh, listen, y'all, I don't argue with anybody about what hell's like. God says it's a lake of fire. Well, he says it, I believe it, and that settles it, but I won't argue with you about it. If hell is anything like depression, I don't want to go there. It's a long tunnel. I entered a long tunnel of depression. I was so eaten up with 2 devastating, devastating emotions, guilt and fear. Guilt, why was I acting this way? God, what's wrong with me? I have a beautiful husband who loves me and 2 kids who are normal, whatever that is. And I just, God, what is wrong with me? And I felt so guilty. And then fear. Natural fear is one thing. Unnatural fear is so devastating. I was so afraid. I had never felt like this before. Oh, God, where are you? What can I do? Now, it was a long tunnel. One day they had to take me to a psychiatrist. Man, in those days, when you went to a psychiatrist, you were really gone. And I thought, well, I went to him. The first thing I said was, just put me away somewhere. And he said, oh, no, Miss Caldwell. If you had come up here and asked me to put Chuck away, I'd be worried about you. But as long as you think you have to be put away, you're safe. The days passed. I had good days and bad days. You know, when I stood with Chuck before the preacher, and he said words like, in sickness and health, rich or poor, all those words they say, I hardly heard them. Because, you see, I was so nervous and scared, I was getting married. And Chuck did too, he hardly heard them. But I want to tell you something, folks. When the chips are down and you're in the pit, those words really look like neon signs. I had lost weight. I wish I had a little bit of that now. But anyway, I'd lost weight. I looked like death warmed over. I cried all the time. I was depressed. And I would say to Chuck, oh, honey, I don't see how you could love me like this. And you know what that old boy'd say? He'd say, honey, I don't know how you feel because I've never been there. But I want to tell you something. I love you and it isn't conditional on how you look or how you feel. I love you, period. And the bridge of love that God built through him was the most exciting, the most thrilling thing. God used it as therapy to help me get well. One day we were living in Oklahoma City, and one day I was out hanging up clothes, a beautiful sunshiny day. You know, God never speaks to me, Marge. If he did, I'd never hear the second thing he said. No, I'd be the first one in the rapture. He knows he can't talk to me like that. But he has to, maybe he talks to you that way. He can't to me. He just, in a still voice, somewhere in my heart, in my mind, excuse me, God said, I felt, you're going to be well. Oh, my soul, I looked up and thought, thank you, God, I'm going to be well. I'm going to be over this. Well, the good days and the bad days came both, but the good days got better, and then I was well. Well, and do you know, if anyone had told me when I was walking through the pit, Marge, this will be next to your salvation and your love for your family. It will be one of the most important things that ever has ever in this world happened to you. Because you see, I wasn't really sure, even at that time, who I was. I didn't know what made you tick, because I didn't know what made me tick. But after being with that illness for that length of time, I began to understand people. God began to build a bridge in my heart and mind to people, a bridge of love and understanding. I could never have had it any other way. So now, I say thank you, Lord, for that terrible experience. Don't you miss any of those. Don't you worry about, listen, your parents, how to build a bridge of love and understanding, how to be the bridge that God can use. Hey, your parents are scared. If they have any sense at all, they're scared to death. They've loved you and trained you, and now you've had to let go. Most of them let go. Some still cling. But most of them let go, and they're so frightened. Chuck and I clung to the Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child when he is old. Train up a child in the way of the Lord, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And we found it's really true. They're scared. Pray for them. Listen, look at them like people. Don't look at them like a bunch of rules. That's the way they come across lots of times, a bunch of discipline. Take the scales off your eyes and look at your parents. They're scared and they love you and they're praying like mad if they love the Lord and know Him. Look at your brothers and sisters. Be a bridge of love and understanding. And you say, I don't like them. They're monsters. I can hardly stand them. I want to tell you something. I double dog dare you, and in Texas, that's a real dare. I double dog dare you to start praying, not, oh Lord, do something with them so I can love them, but oh God, help me to find something beautiful in my brother, in my sister, in my friend. Help me, God, to be a bridge. Say, it hurts to be a bridge. It hurts a whole lot. Because you can't build a bridge with God's help. He cannot use you as a bridge unless you're willing to become involved. And when you get involved, you run the risk of being hurt. But oh man, the enjoyment, the fulfillment, the excitement that God brings and the beautiful reward of being involved. Oh, I can't leave without telling you this. Chuck, again, I love him for so many reasons, but again, God used him as a beautiful bridge to my father. 63, alcoholic, agnostic, profane. Well, in 1952, Chuck and I had a tremendous experience through the influence of the Billy Graham team in Houston. God took us both, took us up, turned us around. At exactly the same day, he was in Oklahoma City on a trip, business trip, and I was in Houston. Exactly the same day, we prayed, God, please change me. All I know of me, God, I give to all I know of you. And when we got together and realized, I put a P.S. on my prayer. Oh, God, he likes to run and play. Please help him to understand. He did the same thing. Don't you know God was amused? And so the two of us began our different walk with the Lord. And don't underestimate the power of a changed life. Don't do it. My father started watching Chuck. He watched him carefully, and he came to me one day and says, what's wrong with Chuck? And I said, well, Daddy, nothing's wrong with Chuck. What do you mean? He said, he's different. And I said, why don't you ask Chuck? He went in and asked Chuck, and Chuck said, Mr. Bowen, if I'm different, I'm thrilled to death that you can see it. I found the joy of my salvation. And so Daddy began to watch him carefully. And a few weeks later, miracle of all miracles, my dad walked into me and said, if Jesus is what Chuck has, can you show me how to find Jesus? Hey, beautiful. Not a bridge of preaching, not a bridge of trying to be something he isn't, but a bridge of love is how Chuck came across to my dad. I cannot lead. I cannot build a bridge, dear God, I said. I cannot see the road ahead. You do not need to see, said he. Just walk in love with them and walk with me. Shall we pray? Thank you, Jesus, for this precious time together. Help us to be beautiful bridges, Lord. Let us be the kind of bridge you can use, not a neglected, broken down, beat up old bridge that is no good to anybody, but a perfectly lovely, beautiful bridge that you can use in lives all around us. We love you, Jesus, and we pray in your precious name. Amen.